I first want to start by thanking the family or the community here, your leadership for inviting me to come and speak this morning. It is a real honor, and one that will stay with me for a very long time. This is a pulpit that I believe not only in the SCBA, but in the Baptist world, many would love to speak from. So if by the grace and the mercies of God, I find myself stood before you this morning, I give God all the honor and all the praise. And I want to say thank you for having me this morning. As you have heard, I'm the previous student minister of Whitney Baptist Church. I moved on from there to Reading, where I am in charge, or I've been given the title of outreach minister, overseeing their community and family's work. Prayer to all that. I come from Ghana originally. I'm here with my wife, Nana, who is a primary school teacher, my daughter, Baba, and my son, Adino, who's just gone out with the children. Prior to all that, I was in the military. I served Queen and Country. I still do as a reservist, but I served as a regular army for nearly 11 years. But before coming to UK, joining the forces and everything, I believe this was what God was calling me to do. I found my way, or I became comfortable in the forces. But in 2012, when the army brought me back from NATO to UK, I believe this was what the Lord wanted me to do. So I committed my life and I went to school to train just down the road, Regent's Park College. When I first encountered Headington, I've never stopped saying to myself, why they never sent me here as a student minister? A question I will ask maybe in eternity, if God be with us. Amen. This morning I'll be speaking to you on the subject, Breathe on Us Again. Breathe on Us Again. But even as that is the title I have got for you this morning, I'm going to do something we call in cross-cultural context, where we say, I'm going to allow you to connect yourself with the text or the passage or the narrative as we go along. And may I also kindly warn you, because of my background, I may get excited. Please bear with. That's just me. That's just me being me. So if you see me getting excited or singing in between the sermon or the message, please bear with. That's me being me. That is Joe. Okay? So please bear with. So Breathe on Us Again is what I want to speak to you about this morning. If you have your Bibles with you, let us quickly go to the book of John chapter 20. John chapter 20. I think some of you read from the screen. I don't know what translation we have on the screen, but either way, we're going to hear God's word. John chapter 20, and I read from verse 19, and I'll end at the verse 23. John 20 from 19. On the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, if it is your Bible, underline, disciples were together with the doors closed for fear of the Jewish leaders. If it's your Bible again, underline fear of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. If it's your Bible again, underline that bit again. I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. Look at your neighbor and say to them, breathe on us again. Oh, come on, say it with some conviction, please. Please. Look at your neighbor with some conviction. Breathe on us again. Very good. That is, I give you a 6 there. At some places, I hope to give you a 10. I want to read something. This is a book I delve in and out of it. Sorry, I'm looking at the time because I want to stay on time. It's called Reimagining Britain by Justin Welby, the Archbishop of Canterbury. And he says something in the page 7 I just want to read, and then I'll go back to the text. He says, The periods of the two world wars had seen Western European countries slaughter more than 10 million of each other's citizens. All infrastructure had been damaged. Economies had been disintegrated. Vast numbers of people were displaced. Hunger and disease were prevalent. Out of such ruins, the ludicrous absurdum of wars, since the fall of the Western Roman Empire, came a desire to change. In Europe, Christian Democrats, this is the key there, Christian Democrats began the creation of what is now the European Union, which expanded into the largest democratic grouping of nations on earth, full of flaws, but able to contribute significantly to fulfilling the dreams of peace that inspired its foundations. Peace. We live in an era where fear is imminent. If you come from the continent where I come from, the fear you are facing is a different kind of fear. In Britain now, the fear we're facing is the fear of Brexit. Whether you are a Remainer or whether you are a Leaver, it is still some fear there. There is still some uncertainty all about it. Now, fear has its own ways where it can cause people to behave in maybe a certain way they haven't chosen to behave. Leadership is everything. And sometimes people aren't too sure whether our leaders can live up or deliver to the billing. Situation and circumstances, topics and problems demand leadership and not leaders. Leaders are there to show or demonstrate leadership in a time of crisis. As a nation, we are still trying to really find a leadership or a leader. That is because the issue of Brexit demands leadership. I seriously don't believe we lack leaders in our nation, but I believe maybe what we are lacking is leadership. You're saying, what is he talking about? You will soon find out. The test that many in Parliament are struggling with is a test of leadership. My African background allows me to look at all that is happening in Parliament and government with a different lens. All I keep saying is, UK, don't do it. It's all I keep saying. I believe if our African leaders were willing to work together and dialogue with each other and their opponents on political, religious, economic, and social issues, what a continent we would have. Sadly, that is not the case for us. Instead, Africa, we easily resort to fear tactics. The fear tactics which Remainers and Brexiteers have all used in bringing this nation to its current state. The reality about this is that there are believers on both camps. There are Christian Remainers and Christian Brexiteers. And there is nothing wrong with that. But there is everything wrong when we project fear. Fear. Now, if that is fear that is making people ask the question, is Boris up to it? Because people believe that he has initiated more fear than any of us or many of the other contenders. Is that true or not? Something you can grapple with. Something you can deal with. Our passage today speaks about how the disciples, they locked themselves for fear of the Jewish leaders. If you were like them, like a fisherman who you have come literally from nothing. This Jesus had come and made you a somebody. Society did not think about you. Nobody regarded you. I mean, you smell as a fisherman. Nobody wants to come near you. My father comes from a fishing background, so I know what it is. You smell all them fish. People don't want to really come. They want your fish, but they don't want to hear you or want to be around you. Now Jesus comes on the scene and Jesus comes and empowers you. Jesus comes and brings something to your life and now you become a somebody. You walk with your chest high. You walk swinging arms. You're walking with the Messiah.
Everybody is talking about you. All of a sudden, this Jesus who made you a somebody, this Jesus who you connected with, this Jesus that took you from a nobody and has made you a somebody, has now been crucified. He is dead. You hear rumors, he is alive. You run to the tomb, he is not there. At least when you heard he is back, what was happening to you is you're thinking, oh my God, my significance is coming back. Oh no, it fades away again. Now you know the people that got him are looking for you. You cannot take them on. You know that. What do? You lock yourself away. You hide. You are forgotten everything that he has said to you. He has said to you that you will see me in a little while. In a little while, you will not see me again. But when I come back, your joy will be restored. But you forget that because fear is lurking all over, looking for you, terrorizing you. Where are his followers? Soldiers are armed to the teeth, going from door to door, asking, where are his followers? Where are they? You're scared. I'll do that too. I don't know about you. I'll lock myself away so I can live to fight another day. We have a saying in the military, there's nothing wrong with turning around and running. It just gives you an opportunity to be in the fight the following day. If you love tennis like I do, all you got to do when you're playing tennis is you got to keep the ball in the court. As long as the ball is in the court, you got a chance. So yes, if I were them, I will also lock myself away. Nothing wrong with that. The trouble with doing that is you deny help from finding you. If you are living in fear, whatever that fear is, and you always lock yourself away, what you do is you deny help from accessing you. So this morning, may I suggest to you that if you are a person that fear or something, any kind of fear has taken hold of your life, maybe you are a business and the fear of Brexit and the uncertainty of it is scaring you and it stares at you every day and you don't know what to do. Please don't lock yourself away. There is help out there. Scripture says, in the midst of their confusion, in the midst of their fear, as they had locked themselves away, guess who showed up? Jesus showed up in the midst of where they were afraid and they had locked themselves. I don't know what your fear is, but one thing I know is Jesus can find you. And Jesus knows where you are. And Jesus knows what you are afraid of. He knows what terrifies you at night. He knows what you wake up to in the morning. And when you are driving, the things you are scared of. Jesus knows it. But he's not one who will be stood at the balcony or far away shouting, you can do it. He comes in the midst of the trouble. He steps in. He's not like our father. He is not like our mother. He is not like your uncle. He is not like the dentist or the doctor. He will step in. The dentist or the doctor may give you something to relieve the pain, but when Jesus comes on the scene, he won't walk with you through that pain. He wants to journey with you through that crisis. He doesn't want to leave you alone. He stays with you. He walks with you. But when he steps in, he says to them, peace be with you. This is the moment you can score 10 out of 10 if you look at your neighbor and say, peace be with you. Oh, that is 8 there. Let's get it up to 10. Come on. Say to them with confidence, come on, peace be with you. When he says, peace be with you, he wasn't saying the peace of the church. He wasn't saying the peace of Boris Johnson. He wasn't saying the peace of Theresa May. Jesus was saying, my peace be with you. He came promising not the peace of the world. He came to promise his peace. His peace. Peace be with you. I have a feeling that there are many of us here, we know somebody in fear. Can we take 2 minutes? Let's just remember them. And as you remember them, speak peace wherever they are. There are some that have logged their way this morning. Just 2 minutes. I still got time, I believe. Let us speak peace into situations you know. This is why we are believers. We need to proclaim. We need to declare. We need to speak to situations. If you know a sister or a brother, if you know a family that are going through some tumultuous time, please speak the peace of God into their lives. It could be your neighbors. Take a few minutes and do that, please. You can call out their names if you want. You are in a safe space. We speak your peace into every situation, into every corner of our streets. We speak your peace, Lord, your peace. Into our nation, we speak your peace right now. We declare your peace over families. We declare your peace over our children. Your peace over marriages. Your peace, oh God, over our institutions. In Jesus' name. Let us continue. They were afraid and hopeless. Nothing made sense. Jesus, who understands what they were going through, now proves to them that he is. So not only did he show up with his presence, he wanted them to connect with his presence. So he calls them and he says, come and feel my hands. Come and feel my side. Come. See, the thing with Christ is, it is not only his presence that transforms us, but we need that encounter. We need that touch. Like the woman with the issue of blood. I think she was an African, because I believe she did something the Africans do. She said, if only I can touch the hand. So she was talking to herself. Sometimes when you're coming to church, that's what you got to do. You got to talk to yourself coming to church. And I'm going today and my praise and worship will be great. But you know you have problems, but you're talking to yourself. You're energizing yourself like the athletes do. About to run 100 meters and they are slapping themselves and their thighs and they're just trying to get it on. That's what you and I must be. It is the encounter. So don't just let us come and experience his presence. Let us come with the desire that as team or the team leads us, we want to really touch and feel that worship. Feel not only the presence, but have a transformation. And that's what Jesus does for them. He invites them and he allows them to touch him. He allows them to feel the pain. But then something happens with the presence of God. You cannot come into the presence of God and your joy remains the same. Your joy is got to go to another level. So when he comes and they've experienced his presence, just like he had promised them in John 16, verse 16, and the 20 verse B, he says, when you see me again, there's a song I love. Praises rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Then he says, for when we see you, we find strength to face the day. For in your presence, all our fears are washed away. I wash the way. Hosanna. Hosanna. You are the God who... You know it? Come on. Can we sing it? Wait, not yet. You see, the chorus says, for when we see you, we find strength to face the day. For in your presence, all our fears are washed away. I washed away. Hosanna. Hosanna. You are the God who saves us. Worthy of all. Hosanna, Hosanna, come Lord among us, we welcome you here. You got 10 out of 10 there. Put your hands together for Jesus. He comes to restore their joy. That is what Jesus comes to bring to our lives. His appearance in their midst was not so their joy will only be restored or bring their joy back or take away their fear, but I came to announce to you that his appearance was also to come and empower them. And that's where I want to finish this morning. He came to reassure them. He came to bring them that peace. He came to restore their joy. But then he also came to empower them. Three things I would love for you to go away with today. Remember, he greets them. Now here I say this because you will know by the passage that he said, I am sending you as the Father has sent me. So this morning when you leave here and you go and you want to be a disciple of Christ, when you meet people on the street, your place of work, or in the cafe, and you're trying to be evangelistic, remember to greet them and say to them, peace be with you. Now he says something again, the second thing. He says, he sends them in the power of God. He said, as the Father sent me, my God. There's a song we sing in my language. They say, me papa yo hini, me papa yo hini, oh hini yesuba. He says, my father is the king. And if my father is the king, I am a prince. Now this is what Jesus is saying to them. He's saying to them, just like I was empowered on high by God, I empower you, Tim. I empower you. Go and step out with that same boldness. Step out with that same conviction. Step out with that same authority. Don't you worry about the leaders that are exuding fear and letting fear grip you. No, I empower you like God empowered me. Step out in boldness. Just as the Father sent me, I send you. Then the third thing, he anoints them with and in the power of the Holy Spirit. He breathes on them. And he says, receive, not Joe. He didn't say receive Chris. Last time I checked, they didn't say receive the government of United Kingdom. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. It means welcome the Holy Spirit. Work with the Holy Spirit. Walk with the Holy Spirit. Move in the Holy Spirit. Let everything you do be influenced by the power of the Holy Spirit. Finally, he instructs them on how it must be done. And with that I read verse 23. He says, if you forgive anyone their sins, their sins are forgiven. And if you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. The question I keep asking myself is, what does that mean? Maybe you've asked yourself that question too. This morning, that's where we're going to finish on. Do you know why we must never stop inviting or asking if anyone would like to commit or invite Jesus into their lives and hearts? It is because as followers of Christ, it is in this verse 23 that we do or we practice this. And that is why we make the altar call. Because it's at the altar call that when we call and we invite people, the Holy Spirit comes into their life and convicts them of sin. And the Holy Spirit allows them to connect to Jesus with faith.
If you have your Bibles with me, come, let us go to the book of Romans chapter 10, verse 10. It says, if you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. When he, Jesus, was walking about in his day, forgiving people their sins, they said he was blaspheming. But Paul, writing to the Romans, writes something here in Romans 10:10. And I read, he says, for it is with the heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. And when you have prayed a sinner's prayer with anybody, one of the things you do when you pray that prayer with anyone that wants to come to faith is you ask them, or you allow them to acknowledge, I am a sinner. And that is why you send Jesus to come and die for me. Forgive me my sins. Receive me and wash me and cleanse me with the blood of Jesus. And receive me so I become an adopted son of yours. That is what that passage, in my opinion, means or instructs us to do. That we should never stop making an altar call. Several years ago, I was like many of us here, or some of us here, or only a few of us here. I heard a preacher preach and made an altar call. And he invited those that wanted to give Jesus or wanted to allow Jesus into their life to come forward. And I ran forward. I gave my life to Jesus. I didn't know that one day I would be stood before you preaching the gospel. I didn't know that one day I would be a Baptist minister. I didn't know that one day I would be in the United Kingdom. All I knew was I was just running forward. I was like the fisherman that smelled that nobody wanted to have anything to do with. But when Jesus comes to your life, he takes away the dirt. He takes away the dross. He washes you clean with the blood. And he brings you to the place and he sets your feet on higher grounds. He takes you from the miry clay. Because the person that made the altar call allowed me to use this psalm, this John 20:23 there, that my sins are forgiven. He has washed me and he has made me new. If you are here this morning and you're thinking about this, asking yourself, how can I connect? How can my fears go away? May I invite you, please, as they come to play, let us bow our heads and I'll pray over you.